Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's good to be back on the air again. This is KC, the Sportsman, and we welcome you to a live rough draft show, a reunion show, if you will, of ENC High School Sports Radio Network. Today, we're going to discuss the NFL playoffs, and of course, as usual, alongside of me, I have my ace partner, Garrett. I'm going to bring him in right now and see if he came in on the line today to share some of his wisdom. Welcome, everybody, to ENC High School Sports Radio Network reunion show, if you will. I have alongside of me my good old buddy, Garrett. We're going to discuss sports, the sports world. In this year, we have a lot of stuff going on, the playoffs and the college title game coming up Monday. Garrett, are you there?
Yes, I am, KC. How about you?
Here and it's great to be back right here behind the microphone and ready to talk sports just like what we used to.
Oh yeah, it's been exciting in the sports world now. I'll tell you that right now. We've been discussing high school football, as everybody knows, in the high school land. We have a 3-time state champion in the Bulldogs, Wallace Rose Hill.
Don't remind me. Of course, everybody knows.
The big thing about the high school world is going to be the schedule for next year. But that's not the biggest entree on the platter, though, as we are looking at the NFL playoffs starting
NFL
today.
Most exciting time of year in sports for me, at least. Is the NFL playoffs starting? Of course, on the slate today, we got Oakland battling Houston. Matter of fact, and coming up shortly in a couple of minutes, Oakland kicks off at Houston, and then later on this afternoon, Detroit at Seattle. Of course, tomorrow, game starts off with Miami at Pittsburgh, and then New York Giants at Green Bay. But let's look at the Oakland at Houston game first, Garrett. As we roll along here in the world of sports today on this beautiful Saturday. Of course, I'm just being sarcastic when I say that because outside of my studio right now is ice and cold and snow and everything. But I'm inside of the warm studio talking sports, what we love to do. Well, Garrett, what do you think about this Oakland Houston game? Of course, we know that Oakland made it back to the playoffs this year for the first time in God knows when a long time. And looked like they were on a roll with their great, sensational quarterback. But then tragedy struck and Carr went down. And now it's up in the air now about how far they can go. But what do you think they can do against this team, against Houston in their first game at least?
Well, you know, funny you should mention it. Oakland has not made a playoff since 2000. That was also the last time they went to the Super Bowl.
But
you know, Oakland has had their moments. They've had a resurgence as late with their offense. You know, Derek Carr has come on very strong. You know, Monty Cooper has come on real well, as has Latavius Murray. And then, just like you said,
and Crabtree was a surprise for him. To me, at least, he was a surprise that his career had a resurgence in Oakland. I thought he was done when San Francisco got rid of him.
Crabtree been a big surprise too, but Crabtree also with San Francisco. With San Francisco, as you already see, this year has been a shell of its former self.
Definitely.
And, you know, now the big question is, you know, with Oakland and Houston, is who's going to start a quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is got to be one of the most interesting questions as anything, but
of course Oakland is starting their rookie quarterback, the first time a quarterback has started a playoff game, or his first game starting is in the playoffs. It's the first time that happened in NFL history. And of course we all know the story of Brock Osweiler. The million dollar man who got benched earlier this season and is starting today because of the one that Savage, who they replaced him, is under concussion protocol. So that's kind of like an odd. I'm really interested to see how this game is going to turn out. Who do you think has the most pressure on him, Garrett, to prove himself or to come through in this game? Which quarterback?
Osweiler.
I agree. No argument.
I think Brock Osweiler has a lot of pressure on it because the thing is, okay, Houston gave him all this money to be a franchise quarterback. You see, Osweiler last year, he played a little bit for Denver, but when Manning came back, you saw what happened. And the thing is, I think a lot of people are starting to see that Osweiler may not be as well as advertised. You know, it's just like whenever a couple of years ago with New England, you had Brady go down and then Castle step up and he threw like, what, about 5-6 touchdowns in one game. And then everybody's thinking, oh, Matt Castle's going to be our big-time quarterback, you know, because he had that good season with New England in replace of Brady. And then Matt Castle goes somewhere else, and Matt Castle's been so poor. So really, to be honest, you know, Osweiler, he's got the most pressure on him. Because Connor Cook knows that you know he's a rookie quarterback, and he can have a lot of pressure on him today as well, because it's the playoffs. But it's just that I don't think Cook's got as much pressure as Osweiler does.
No, you're correct with that. I agree with you. Well, anytime you're in the playoffs, there's pressure. As a matter of fact, any game in the NFL on an elite level like that is pressure. But anytime you're in the playoffs, it's definitely extra pressure. But at the same time, I looked at Connor Cook. If he plays a decent game or a bad game and loses, everybody's going to give him an out and say, well, he's a rookie quarterback. What'd you expect? You know, it's just bad, you know, a bad break for bad break for the Oakland Raiders, and what did you expect? But Brock Osweiler, like you said, I agree with you. They put everything on the line for him. I mean, every cent they had, and he was supposed to lead them to the promised land, and then you want him getting benched in the, before the season even ends. So he has a lot to prove. He has a
Yes, he has a very tremendous amount to prove today. That and but I got a feeling. You know, we'd be talking about this game here, the Texans and Raiders. I don't know if it's going to be a offensive juggernaut. I think it's going to be more of a defensive battle.
I agree.
Because you got two stout defenses with Raiders and Texans. You got Jadeveon Clowney with the Texans, who has finally gotten healthy to the point that he can actually do something. Khalil Mack with the Raiders, who's
been dominated game. Dominated game.
You know, you got those two right there, and I think that's what you're going to see in this game more than offense. You're going to see more defensive standouts than you are going to be offensive standouts.
I'll be shocked, really, if this game produces more than 35 points. If it does, I really believe Oakland is going to come out with a win in this one. Because the only thing I think that will help the young rookie quarterback is that he has two elite wide receivers, and if he can just get the ball in the air to any one of them. They can make a difference in the game. But if that doesn't happen, I don't think they'll score no more than 30, 35 points in this game.
I don't think so either.
For the both of them. Of course, later on this afternoon, we got another big game. All the games is shut up or go home, put up or go home time now. So all the games are big. Detroit traveling at Seattle. Of course, we all know about Russell Wilson. And the quarterbacks there, Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford. What do you look at in this game, Garrett? What sticks out to you?
Oh boy. Well, it sticks out kind of like this. Okay, you're looking at the Lions. Okay, they lost their top five receiver last year to a target in Calvin Johnson.
Yep, and then great Megatron.
Yep, the great Megatron, and then they started spreading the field more, and that's helped out Stafford a lot. Well, Stafford was 8-4 before his injury. Okay, that injury, he's still trying to adapt or get used to a point that he basically needs to play better. He's had too many interceptions with that injury, and he could probably say, well, that injury hadn't affected his play, but that's not the case. That injury has done a lot more affection to him than a lot of people think, and you can definitely see it. With the way he's throwing the ball and the way he's handling the ball, you can see that injury has affected him a lot. He's thrown more interceptions since he's had his injury. And then we talk about a Lions here who came close to being the AFC North champions. They were one game away from it, but they couldn't.
One game away.
Couldn't put that last nail in the coffin. And then you got the Seahawks, the West champions, who came out of a very horrible NFC West this year. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to be honest, straight up, the West was horrible this year.
We all know that Russell Wilson also, he's not coming into this game completely healthy. I believe back in week 10 it was, maybe. Maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but week 10 he took a serious injury and he hasn't been exactly the same himself. And the healthy Russell Wilson, of course, we all know how hard he is to control and contain with the scrambling, and not that he scrambles all the time, but he's just the right time. It's like he can just press a button and when he wants it and just be so one of the most elusive quarterbacks in the NFL. But then at the same time, he can kill you with that arm, kill you with the arm, too. I have seen Seattle make some of the most wildest plays and say, well, how in the world did they pull that off? I mean, especially within the last 3 years, just with the awareness of Russell Wilson and his wide receivers, Doug Baldwin, especially in particular Doug Baldwin, working with him when he starts scrambling and managing to get open, I've seen him pull off some miraculous plays over the years, and I don't think he's coming in quite that healthy, so they might be limited as well. And of course, since their running game has kind of been stalling lately, since Marshawn Lynch left the team, they never had running game back as it used to be. Of course, that's expected of when you lose a player like that, that you're going to lose a big part of your offense. Only thing I see, Gary, with Matthew Stafford in Detroit is that I really believe if they don't win this game, I'm not saying they have to win the Super Bowl, but if they don't get past this first round, it's time to start looking for another coaching staff or something. Detroit, as long as I've known, they had, of course, we talked about Megatron. They had a great wide receiver, great quarterback. Seemed like they had just a great team, but they can never get over that hump. They just can never get over that final hump. And they have just been a mediocre team that just makes it to the playoffs, just enough to say they're good, but not, like I said, not get over the hump. There's so many disappointing losses. And last week was another example of it. All they had to do was win that game. They would have been the champs of the division, and they just pretty much laid an egg. And so it's going to be interesting to see.
You made a good comment about something, too, about the coaching changes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just say it like this. All right. You know, we have to rewind the tape a little bit back to the Texans as well. It's going to be the same deal for Texans. You know, they're doing the same deal. And you know, if they don't make it past this first round today, both Detroit and Houston, then they're going to probably start looking a little bit around for another set of coaching staff changes.
I agree.
Because you can't just make it two playoffs in a row, you know, especially if you're Houston, who's won their division twice and not expect to get past the first round. And you can't, and you know, Detroit's the same way. You know, Detroit has had some pretty stellar teams. They had some good chances and they can't get that spot of, hey, look, we're here and that's all we're going to get to. You know, you got to get to, you know, you talk about two teams that have not made it to the Super Bowl yet. They're like the Chicago Cubs of the NFL.
And I believe, Garrett, now I believe, of course, he didn't say it straight out, but I believe that's one reason why Megatron retired as early as he did. I mean, you just can't fault them in a way to be just constantly every season putting all you have into it, and then they just come short every season, disappointing season after disappointing season. And I think he just finally said, well, look, you know, they still had him on the contract, and I think he just finally said, well, look, I'm just going to bow out gracefully from this. I'm tired of the losing. I believe if they had even showed a good performance last year or the year before, even if they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, if they made it to the NFC Championship game, I think it would have been a different story, and I believe Megatron would have still been on the team playing and catching passes for them.
Exactly. You know, we gotta also have to ask ourselves too. You know, we're looking at the team that have not made it to the Super Bowl, had not even won the Super Bowl, you know, that's come close, but no cigar type of deal. You know, those wait until next year teams, you know, like the Chicago Cubs, or we got to look at those teams. We got to be like, you know, which team is that wait until next year team that we have to say, okay, it is like a Chicago Cubs of the NFL, you know, who's come so close to that chance to be at the top of the mountain just to fall off.
Just to fall off. And I'm not calling for anybody's job or saying that they're bad coaches or anything like that, but sometimes you just got to make a change. Just like you were saying, Garrett, after a team been there so many times and disappointing loss after disappointing loss, it's just like with any other sports. Football is like a mental thing sometimes that you just feel like you just can't get over that top of that mountain. And the team feels it when they get down every time. If they get down a score or down a touchdown, that's what separates a championship team from just a mediocre team. So many disappointments, and the first thing they do is start hanging their head down. And sometimes you just need a new coach to come in and just to give a new temperament, a new personality, a new feeling to the team. And sometimes that's all it takes, because they have, like you said, Detroit has had some great players and they had everything in place. They just couldn't get over that final hurdle. Of course, tomorrow we got another day of playoff games. Miami, starting off with Miami at Pittsburgh. And before we even get into that again, I just give the same sentiment. There's a couple of coaches in the playoffs this year that I believe this is it for them. That if they don't show up and show out and make a great step forward, that they're going to be looking for another position next year. And as bad as I hate to say it, Pittsburgh, I believe, is in that position. With Mike Tomlin, I believe he has just had a great teams. They have had some of the best offenses in the league. He's had Roethlisberger for the last 10 years or more, and his record is just not up to par for the talent that Pittsburgh has had and the awesome – I mean, even the awesome offenses. And actually, before Polamalu retired, some great defenses as well. And I don't believe they just lived up to what their potential. And I really believe they're going to start looking at Mike Tomlin if they don't. Well, God forbid if they lose this first round. If they lose to Miami tomorrow, that's definitely going to be it.
Well, you know,
I love
Mike
him as a coach
Tom,
now. I think he's a great coach. But again, I think it's just one of those things where they just need another injection of another attitude or something to snap them out of. I just don't think they're living up to their potential.
Well, you know, you're looking at like Mike Tomlin, for example. Okay, he replaced Bill Cowell after Cowell stepped out. Okay, well, the thing is about Tomlin. Okay, Tomlin has had some great teams in his tenure at Pittsburgh. And if Pittsburgh does not make it out of the first round, then yeah, I could see Pittsburgh maybe start considering another coach. But I think if Pittsburgh makes it to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, then I think Tomlin will be all right.
Oh, yeah, he'll be safe then.
You see, he's not exactly on the proverbial hot seat as some of these coaches are right now that you have to look at and say, hey, look, if you don't come through with us soon, you know, this season, then you might as well just go and start considering something else. You know, and there's a game that's coming up tomorrow that that we get ready to be talking about real soon that's got a coach that is really just like that. And we're gonna be talking about that one very soon in the next segment.
Well, we might as well just jump to that right now. The game you're referring to, the last game of the wild cards, at least tomorrow. Tomorrow is New York Giants at Green Bay. That's the game I'm excited about any of the playoff games. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that's the one that my mouth is watering for tomorrow. And one reason, I have to tell you, everybody know I'm biased. Everybody knows I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. And one of the reasons is because I know one of these teams that wins tomorrow is going to play my Cowboys. So I'm definitely really, really focused on that game, interested in that game. And plus, it's going to be a good game. I mean, this is going to be a good game, I believe. New York Giants at Green Bay, two great quarterbacks, Eli, Aaron Rodgers. And it's going to be, not unless God intervenes and throws down some warm weather, and there's a miracle in Green Bay, it's going to be bitterly cold tomorrow in Green Bay. And it's just great weather for football. What stands out in that game, Garrett?
Well, it's just like I mentioned. There's just that one coach that we're talking about. That's Mike McCartney. He's that coach that I was just referring to. You know, the Green Bay coach. He's had some good teams in his tenure, and then he had this year where they were supposed to be pretty much like the Excalibur of the NFL. Not dogging your Cowboys or nothing. Nobody expected Dallas to make it where they are this year.
No, I agree with you. I didn't expect the Cowboys to be here especially with Romo
and
down.
Green Bay was the one they expected to do something this year. Green Bay or Carolina. Well, okay, you look at it. Okay, Green Bay comes back with this top wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, back. And I think, Green Bay's going to run the loose. They got the top quarterback. They got their top wide receiver back. They got that top offense. They got their running back. They got everything you can want for a championship team. And then they start kind of lollygagging. And a lot of questions are like, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? And then a lot of it also is where Mike McCartney on the hot seat. And basically, if Green Bay does not go too far in the playoffs this year, I think McCartney could be the one that, I hate to say it, but you remember when Bill Belichick, he was getting ready to be the coach of the Jets, and then he turned it down to be the coach of the Patriots.
Right.
It's getting ready to be like that. If that Packer job opens up, then you're going to be looking at a coach that's going to be going to the Packers that's going to be like the Bill Belichick of the NFC, and that right there, and the Packer job is the New England Patriots of that NFC.
Definitely. I can't even imagine how many coaches would be lined up to take the reins of that organization. I mean, that's just a green job. You got a great quarterback
coaches,
in place already.
There'd be coaches and fans wanting that position. And you're talking about where y'all are talking about Dallas. Okay, well, Dallas, Okay, Dallas got Jason Garrett. All right, well, here's the deal about Dallas. Dallas would not be really considered the Patriots of the NFC. Not that dynasty that keeps rolling along like Green Bay.
Well,
you
know, it definitely
you
wouldn't
look
be.
At it.
It definitely wouldn't be the ideal. Far as tradition,
that wouldn't be the ideal spot. No.
Far as tradition, they have it. Far as fame, they have it. Far as money, they have it. But the main reason why many coaches probably would turn away from a head coaching job at Dallas is, as we all know, Jerry Jones, who wants to be everybody to Dallas, from the water boy to the owner. He wants to say so in it.
He wants his stamp printed on it, that's for sure.
Definitely. You hear more from him than the head coach, than Jason Garrett.
And, a lot of
whenever they want to know what the Cowboys are getting ready to do, who they're getting ready to play, they go to Jerry Jones. They just bypass Jason Garrett.
Yeah, and there's another owner just like that who was a long-time owner of the Raiders. And you know who I'm talking about. He was another Jerry Jones type.
Yeah. He had to control everything. He controlled everything from what hot dog they're going to sell, from what quarterback they're going to play.
Exactly. I know the name. He's on the tip of my tongue.
Al Davis.
Al Davis, exactly. And you see, but what happened after Davis stepped down? What happened to the Raiders?
They started improving
a lot. And
same
that might be what's going to happen when Jerry Jones
steps
down.
Same thing in Dallas. His Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones' son, has really took the reins over most of it, over most of the team. Jerry Jones still flapping his lips and talking a lot, but the big decisions are being made by his son now. So that's that. And look what happened. They're improving. It's no secret. It's in the past NFL drafts. Jerry Jones wanted to take Manziel. He wanted to take Manziel, and Stephen Jones said no way. You know, they argued about it, and they got players that improved the offensive line, and now they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Where if they well, you know what would have happened.
Lord, I hate to see what would happen. You know, if he took Manziel, I mean, give me, you know, Manziel was he was pretty much the hot name out there during that time.
Great college quarterback. He did some things on the field in college at Texas A&M that I couldn't believe. But it's just that's a topic for a whole another show. So I'm not even going to open that bag of worms.
That's not a topic for a show. That is a show.
That is a show. You're right.
Okay,
let's switch it to the world of college sports now. Let's go to pre-NFL, if you will. And championship game Monday night. Alabama. Go Bama. Roll Bama Tide against the Clemson Tigers. Big game. Rematch, actually, from last year's game, which was an awesome game. One of the best college games I've seen. It was last year's championship game between Alabama and Clemson, and I believe this one is going to be no difference. Other than I'm thinking it's going to be a different outcome. And I'm going to go with the Clemson Tigers this year as for a upset over Alabama, just because it was such a hard-fought game last year. But don't get me misquoted, though. I believe if Alabama wins, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm going with Clemson. And in order for that to happen, this young man, Deshaun Watson, is going to have to play another game like he played last year, where Alabama just didn't know what to do with him, but, of course, they still came up short. What do you see in this game, Garrett?
Well, I think that you know, Deshaun Watson's going to be a he's gonna be a force, but I think Alabama knows what Deshaun's going to bring to the table this year because they faced him last year. Now the question on everybody's mind is going to be Alabama's quarterback, you know, Jalen Hurts. You know, what is
right.
he going to do? And he's led Bama to the national championship game. But you see something that Clemson did. What I saw was they had a former quarterback / NFL draftee / player, Taj Boyd, come into practice and work with the team some in a Jalen Hurt type role. Now, that will help out the defense because if everybody remembers Boyd was a dual threat quarterback. He was a scrambler and he also was a thrower. So that will help out the defense for Clemson tremendously. Now, I can't go out and say, well, Clemson's going to win this thing heads up. I think it can go either way. But if I have to give a prediction and a nod of the head, I probably give it to Clemson. You know, just a slimmer of a nod to Clemson.
And also in sports news and something else that shocked the college world and definitely unlike Alabama, who has just been the pure definition of steady as she goes and no waves, no, what would you call it, no splash or no glam and glitter, just play straight, hard-nosed football. They took a page from the Dallas Cowboys and fired one of the coaches and brought a whole lot of drama right before the championship game. I mean, here it is, just a week before the championship game, and Nick Saban decided that Lane Kiffin needed to go. I just never heard of anything like that. There's one more game left in the season. It's the championship, and you fire your offensive coordinator who pretty much for the last, I believe he's been there how long, 4 or 5 years? And had great success, but of course we know that him and Nick Saban, just especially this year and starting near the end of last year, kept butting heads and were just having a lot of turmoil. But I just think it's just shocking that you would fire your offensive coordinator the week before the championship game. And although in the news conference, Nick Saban said, well, that's not going to affect us. And I believe it was a distraction to keep him here, being that he had already took a head coaching job, I think a UAF, and it would be a distraction. So we had to get rid of the distraction. I think getting rid of the distraction made a bigger distraction, and I believe it has to affect Alabama. Even a steady team like Alabama has to affect them in some kind of way, and I believe that's in Clemson's favor as well. What do you think about that ordeal?
Well, I'm going to tell you, okay, Lane Kiffin was let go because, one, he did accept the job at Florida Atlantic, and I think it was pretty much a mutual agreement by both of them that, you know, sure, Saban and Kiffin didn't really agree on things, But when it came down to that, you know, Kiffin probably said the same. And hey, look, yeah, I know this. I know I said I was gonna stick around to the championship game, but I feel like it. I'd be more of a distraction to these players and these boys if I stick around than anything. And so that's, I think that's what it really amounted to, was that Kiffin,
I don't think so. One more game though, Garrett, the championship game? One more game, the last game of the season? I don't believe it. I believe there's something that's not being told to that story. I really do. We may not never know, but I don't buy it, because I don't buy that from either one of the sides. I believe there's something behind closed doors that's happened more than what we know, or there was some blow up or something.
There might
be. Decided to handle it quietly, and just because that's unheard of. Why? I could see if it was 6 games left in the season, 3 games left in the season, 2 games left in the season, but the last game, the last championship game, you don't work with your quarterback and your offense since the summer, drill after drills, practice after practice, and then the last game is going to be that much of a distraction? I don't buy it.
Well, I think, you know, that could be, like you said, more to it than what you see. And that's a possibility. You know, and like you said, there may not be, you know, we may not know the whole story. You know, or we might know the whole story later. We don't know. But it's just that I feel like that those two right there, you know, Kiffin and